Britain's conversation. This is LBC with Tom Swarbrick.
10 to 6, Friday evening, Tom Swarbrick here on LBC means one thing. You know the drill. From Washington, D.C., Simon Marks, American Week.
Tom, as this American week clatters to its end, the American government remains shut down. Even though the Republicans control the White House, the Senate, and the House of Representatives, they still weren't able to keep Donald Trump's own government open. And of course, pointing the finger of blame relentlessly at the Democrats. Now, I know, we cover these shutdowns all the time. They are a crazy, unique facet of the American system of governance. But this shutdown particularly demonstrates that the country's governing arrangements, even its very constitution, may simply no longer be fit for purpose.
Breaking tonight, the clock says just after midnight, the shutdown has begun.
Congressional leaders and President Donald Trump failed to reach a deal or pass a short-term funding bill that would have kept the government running. A shutdown could lead to the furlough and firing of a large number of federal workers.
Indeed, 750,000 of them told to stay home. Fox and CBS there covering the breaking news that occurred at the stroke of midnight as October got underway. And there is no indication when the two warring political parties might succeed in getting things back on track. Listen to Vice President J.D. Vance at the White House on Wednesday. He seems to think this could go on for a while.
Our troops need to get paid. Our air traffic controllers need to make sure that people are flying safely. We need low-income people to be able to access the food services that are provided by the federal government. There are critical things that need to be saved. We're going to do everything that we can over the coming weeks to ensure that people get the essential services that they need, despite the fact that Chuck Schumer has shut down the federal government.
Now, just to be clear on the facts, Chuck Schumer, the Democrat leader in the Senate, has not shut the government down. Blame can equally be shared by both parties. It takes a two-thirds majority in the Senate to pass a funding bill, so someone's got to give. Yet President Trump, who engages in scorched-earth politics at the best of times, has ordered the homepage of every single government website to proclaim that this is a shutdown orchestrated by the radical left. And in the days leading up to it, he was already relishing the opportunity to target Democrats, because that's what he means by the radical left, the second the shutdown kicked in.
A lot of good can come down from shutdowns. We can get rid of a lot of things that we didn't want, and they'd be Democrat things.
We can do things during the shutdown that are irreversible, that are bad for them and irreversible by them.
We'd be laying off a lot of people that are going to be very affected, and the Democrats, they're going to be Democrats.
So we've never seen anything like this before. Over the last 48 hours, the president has defunded, he says permanently, billions of dollars worth of projects in 16 separate states, all of them governed by Democrats. At least $8 billion worth of climate change projects have been shredded. And the president may be about to fire permanently tens of thousands of federal government workers, possibly more. While he says they're Democrats, the reality is that they're just civil servants. They've got every right to support whatever political party they want. And he cannot possibly know that the Americans he is laying off are all backers of the Democratic Party.
This is not a normal government shutdown.
That is Robert Reich. He served as President Bill Clinton's Labour Secretary. And while it is, from an international perspective, bizarre even to think that a government shutdown could be normal, his analysis of why this one isn't is spot on.
Under normal circumstances, I understand why compromises are made to keep the government running. I have been in favor of keeping the government running. But our government is not running right now. It's effectively been shut down for months as Trump has destroyed checks and balances, usurped the power of the purse from Congress, and unleashed an authoritarian nightmare throughout the country.
He says Democrats mustn't cave in, but there are some signs of cracks appearing within the party, which, remember, has been so silent and so irrelevant since Trump's return to power that they've got to box very clever if they want to avoid yet more public anger being directed at them. Meanwhile, there was plenty of fresh evidence this week of the untrammeled authoritarianism that now lies at the heart of the Trump administration.
Get out the elevator!
Wow. Oh my God.
In a New York City courthouse this week, masked agents with Donald Trump's Immigration and Customs Enforcement Division encircled a Latina woman in an elevator, and then they physically assaulted photographers, ejecting them from the lift with such brute force that one had to be hospitalized. This was the same courthouse where last week, you'll remember, an ICE agent physically assaulted the pleading wife of a man from Ecuador who had just been torn out of the arms of their children by the president's thugs, who now operate with complete impunity all over the country.
Oh, no.
Community members rush in to try to help a street vendor.
What you're doing is kidnapping.
As she's taken in by ICE. It happened Monday as Selena Ramirez was selling tacos on the sidewalk outside this Home Depot in Ladera Heights.
ABC News in Los Angeles with that story. Elisa LeBlanc witnessed the incident.
They didn't know what her name was. They didn't have a warrant. What I saw just looked like men trying to abduct a woman off the street.
Meanwhile, in Chicago, ICE agents rappelled onto the rooftop of a residential building from a Black Hawk helicopter in the dead of night. The agency says they were looking for Venezuelan drug traffickers. Again, this from the local ABC TV station.
Neighbors like Ebony Watson ducked for cover as they heard several flashbangs go off.
They was terrified. The kids was crying. People was screaming. I was out there crying when I seen the little girl come around the corner because they was bringing the kids out too. Had them zip tied to each other. That's all I kept asking. Where's the morality? Where's the human?
Nowhere to be found, unfortunately. Certainly not on display this week when President Trump, flanked by his Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, ordered hundreds of generals and admirals based all over the world to fly home at short notice and attend a meeting at the Marine Corps' base at Quantico in Virginia. As the commanding officers collectively with thousands of years of battlefield experience watched in stony silence, they were given new orders from the top.
Only in recent decades did politicians somehow come to believe that our job is to police the far reaches of Kenya and Somalia while America is under invasion from within. We're under invasion from within.
And lest anyone was in any doubt, the president told them they will soon be fighting a war at home.
This is going to be a big thing for the people in this room, because it's the enemy from within, and we have to handle it before it gets out of control.
If that weren't enough to lead some of the commanders watching to wonder whether they could possibly continue serving under this commander-in-chief, his Secretary of War, a man with about 5 minutes of personal military experience, then unveiled his determination to harden the American military up.
At every level, from the Joint Chiefs to everyone in this room to the youngest private, leaders set the standard.
Pete Hegseth channeling his inner David Brent.
No more beards, long hair, superficial individual expression. We're going to cut our hair, shave our beards, and adhere to standards. No more beardos.
That they sat through it is testament to the military discipline that he claims no longer exists. And yes, he did mention male-level physical standards there. Females, and certainly the transgendered, need no longer apply for combat roles. The central point here is that those people who tell you to take Trump seriously but not literally are deluding themselves. The president has told the generals to prepare for the deployment of troops on American streets. And this week, he started doing exactly that in Memphis, Tennessee, against the wishes of the city's Democratic Party mayor. The president's deputy White House chief of staff, Stephen Miller, who serves as Donald Trump's de facto chief ideologue, traveled to Memphis to address members of the city's police force. Here are some of his comments at length.
We are about to provide you with a level of support you cannot even imagine. ATF, DEA, FBI, ICE, Department of War, every resource we have. We will liberate this city from the criminal element that has plagued it for generations. We are not going to live in an environment where there is a street that belongs to a criminal. The idea that there is a square inch of block in this city where a citizen doesn't feel safe is unacceptable. This is Memphis. This is the United States of America, and all that bullshit is done. It's over. It's finished.
He does get very excited, but then so did Joseph Goebbels. Behind the scenes in Washington, we got a glimpse this week of just how impossible it is for Democrats and Republicans even to talk. Congresswoman Madeleine Dean, a Democrat from Pennsylvania, was caught on a hot mic by MSNBC trying to talk to Mike Johnson, the Republican Speaker of the House.
The president is unhinged. He is unwell. What are you doing?
A lot of folks on your side are too. I don't control.
Oh my God, please. That performance in front of the generals?
That
I didn't see it.
Is so dangerous. Our allies are looking elsewhere. Our enemies are laughing.
The extraordinary thing about that is that Johnson doesn't push back at the notion that the president is nuts and simply says, well, a lot of Democrats are as well. Today, the president has released a new AI-created video. It portrays himself, J.D. Vance, and his budget director, Russ Vogt, like Stephen Miller, another true believer, as angels of death. Mr. Vogt is portrayed as the Grim Reaper, preparing to eviscerate Democrat-backed projects that Congress has already voted to finance. Republicans will argue it's just a joke. But Tom, in a country where politicians can't even talk to each other anymore, the president loves his shutdown, and he's using it to supercharge the authoritarianism that he covets.
From Washington, D.C., Simon Marks, American Week.